You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hey, this is John Legend, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who considers a silver medal a participation award, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Intermission is over, folks. Welcome to Act 2 of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. I am Pete Schwabba. Conrad is here working the board and producing the show. Our question of the night is, what is in your pocket? It is not National Pocket Day. This question is tied to nothing except I want to know what's in your pocket. So we've had a lot of people walking around with knives. I see a few more texts here. We'll read those in a bit. But a lot of people carrying weapons, which is a little unsettling. Tony the Trucker says, handkerchief thing is gross enough. I have seen people shake it out before using it. Yeah, that's worse. Mike Schmidt is here, ladies and gentlemen. He is on the stream, and we are talking about a wide array of topics, as always. Mike, I have to go back. When you were telling the story about your gym teacher calling everybody by their last name, I went through a phase where, and I think it was inspired by Chief Wiggum of The Simpsons, would always see Homer and go, oh, Simpson. Like, it was just, I don't know if it's like from the 50s or whatever, but when you call somebody by their last name, it's so old school. And I started doing that in my neighborhood. And I would be like, oh, Byer, how's it going? And they didn't get it. And then I had to explain, and then it got weird. So
sure.
I'm a fan, though. I love the old school guys with their handkerchiefs.
Yeah, you got to be like that. It's funny. I get Schmitty all the time. But, you know, this one, and again, here's how my brain works. People will write Schmitty in a text or in an email, and they spell it like my name with a Y at the end of it. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? Who are you as a person that you don't know? You put two T's. It's two
Schmitty.
T's. There's nothing wrong with that. And to this day, our friends, our mutual friends that you know, do it. And I'll even correct them. I'll go, dude, what are you doing?
Oh God, I love that you correct them, even though you know exactly what they mean.
Yeah. Oh, no, there's no doubt. But again, because you know what? It looks ugly. If you write them out.
Right.
My last name with just a Y looks ugly, but you have two T's and a Y. There you go. It's glorious.
Makes total sense. It's
That's
harmonic.
How English works. Exactly.
So we had so much to talk about, Mike, as usual. You know, it's funny. You kind of remind me of, you're such a great storyteller. We had Mike Starr on the show recently, and I got him going, and it's like the only way we can have Mike Starr back is if we just give him like an hour and then cut it up. And I think that's what we should do with you next time, because I feel bad jumping in and saying we have to do a break because your stories are so great. But we're getting through it as usual, and it's great to have you here. Let's talk about – I agree with you. We'll save our bouncer stories for next time, but I think we should talk about movies. And you mentioned some movies earlier in our text exchange, which also are some of my favorites. But I would like to ask you to tell me tell the listeners what three movies those are and why they affected you the way they did.
Well, all right. There are three movies. One of them is called Thief. It's from 1981. It was Michael Mann's first movie ever. The second movie is To Live and Die in L.A., which came out in 4 years later. And it's William Friedkin and Willem Dafoe and another William L. Peterson. Who, by the way, is also in Thief for 5 seconds, maybe?
Right.
And then the third movie is, guess who's in it? William L. Peterson. And it's a movie called Manhunter. And it's Michael Mann's third movie. Thief is the one that means the most to me, because I was 13 and I didn't have a dad. I mean, I had one. I mean, I had to come from somewhere. Well, my dad was a drunk and he bailed and he was just a bad guy. So I didn't have masculine role models in my life. I was raised by my mom, and it's a five boy house.
Wow.
You know, and my mom would work. And so Lenny was my surrogate dad, kind of, which was unfair to him because he was only 3 years older than me. So he's in charge of disciplining the kids. It was a mess. It was a terrible thing. But also my mom was dating, you know, my mom would date these dudes who would show up, and none of them had any interest in being a dad, which was great because we would have they would have died by eye roll. I mean, it would have been ridiculous. You know, my mom dated there was this dude named Mike Carnett, and he was like a prison barber. My mom ran with a weird crowd, gosh. Man. And there's nothing worse than that. Like, again, these dudes would, you know, they'd come over and they'd help themselves to my mom and the food in the fridge. You know what I mean? So Mike Carnett comes walking out in, like, you know, white underwear, and he's like, you know, going in my fridge, and I'm like, I'm 12, and I go, I want to kill this guy. I want this guy to die. I don't know who he is. But my mom ran with a bunch of, you know, drug dudes and all that kind of stuff. So I had no real male role model. So in Bolingbrook, there was a Plitt Theater. I don't know if Plitt even owns theaters anymore. And they started doing Two for Tuesday. Yeah. It was two movies for a dollar on Tuesday. And so I would just go by myself. Like, I would go to the theater and see whatever they had. And so the theater had a double feature. And the first film, and it's funny, I mentioned it, that Thief ushers me into adulthood, essentially. Well, so did the first film. It's a movie called Backroads. Backroads stars Tommy Lee Jones and Sally Field. Sally Field is a hooker. There's no better way to say it. She called, not a call girl. She's a hooker.
Right.
And somehow she winds up tied up with Tommy Lee Jones. They got to drive cross country, and there's bar. It was, you know, along those Every Which Way But Loose and Smokey and the Bandit, those kind of movies from like the 70s and 80s. So it's just, it's kind of a rom-com, but also a little rough around the edges. But the thing is, I can still see the outfit Sally Field wore at 13-year-old me. I was in love. Like, I fell in love with Sally Field in that movie. I don't know why. Maybe because she was available sexually as a hooker, but also she was so cute. She was just, because I'd seen her in Smokey and the Bandit and stuff, and she was incredibly beautiful then. But in this movie, there was something about her, because she had, you know what, she had the real heavy eyeshadow and the whole bit, and she wasn't fond of bras, as hookers often aren't. And so I was like, all right, great. And so as a 13-year-old, that was the first movie, and I was like, I'm in for that. That's great. And then the second movie plays, and it's a movie called Thief. And in the film, it's James Caan and Jim Belushi and Tuesday Weld,
who
were very important in it. Bob Prosky's first role ever in a movie. And he's 52 at the time. You know what I mean? He's a guy, and he's a face you got used to seeing.
That was his first movie?
First
wow,
movie.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah. And so James Caan is he's a professional jewel thief, but also he has cover in the daytime because he owns car lots. He owns the Green Mill, which is fun because it's, you know, they film actually in the Green Mill. And that's another thing. It was in Chicago. Chicago looks amazing in it. They're on Lower Wacker, you know what I mean? The pavement's wet, they're driving. It's just incredible. But the thing I gravitated to is James Caan. He took nothing from anybody. He wasn't, I wouldn't even say he was like a badass, but he was. He didn't flaunt it like that. He was like, I often describe him as like a walking, and I don't know if I can say this on your show, H-O, can I say that? It's like a two-word phrase. You know what I'm talking about? He was a walking erection. I can say that. He's a walking erection where he's just full of machismo, and he took no guff from anybody. In the beginning of the movie, he makes a deal and he gets kind of messed over, and he just goes to the place and he sits down. He looks at a guy and he's like, "We got this problem." They try to blow him off. He just pulls a gun in the office, and then he makes Dennis Farina eat carpet, and they all sit down, and he just walks his way out of the office. But also, he had it turns out he's a convict who's now out. And it's funny you mentioned Willie Nelson. Willie Nelson's in the movie, and he's his mentor.
Oh, yeah.
He taught him how to survive in prison. His name is Okla. Well, at one point, James Caan unfolds this. It looks like a postcard, but it's a collage. And on it, there's Willie Nelson, and then there's also a bunch of skulls, and it's crazy and a baby. Like, you're wondering what's on this. And he shows it to Tuesday Weld later, and he's like, "That's my life." He goes, "And this is you." And he shows her where she is in it. And she asks him how he survived in prison. He goes, "You have to get the mentality where you don't care about anything. You don't care if you live. You don't care if you die. You don't care who's in your way. You don't care at all." And as a 13-year-old kid who had no masculine role model in my life, I was like, that sounds like a pretty good way to be, you know, to defend. Obviously you use it as a shield against any bullies or any problems that come along where you just try not to care. And it made me want to fight, but the problem is also not having a dad. Nobody taught me how to fight.
Right.
So I was, you know, essentially like a chimp. I'm like, you know, I just jump on you and punch you in the back. You know what I mean? I was a terrible fighter. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, not till later on that I realized, oh, you should probably hit somebody in the face. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. And also I was younger than everybody in school, 'cause I was double promoted and all that. It's always felt a little weird. And, but yeah, that movie, like I just watched it last week. It's, I always say it's my dad. Thief is my dad.
No kid. I have to give that a rewatch, because I think I actually rewatch that every like 10 years, but I probably haven't watched it in like 15 years. My guest is Mike Schmidt. Check out his podcast. It's the 40-year-old boy, and he is also a comedian, and he's joining us here at Nightlight.
I want to tell people this too. If you watch, I would, as a double feature, watch Thief and then watch Heat. They're both Michael Mann movies.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Heat is 14 years after Thief. And you can see him cribbing from Thief and using some things in Heat, because those guys are also a crew of thieves. And it's beautiful. I mean, it's so great. And what's great is, did you ever watch The Bear? Did you watch The Bear television show?
First season.
Okay. The second season is amazing. You should see it. It's the best season of television, right up there with Sopranos.
I remember you posting about that, and I couldn't wait to get to it, but I don't know. I just got sidetracked or something, but yeah.
I never felt more homesick than I did watching that. And there was an episode where cousin is, he has to go stage at a real restaurant, like a five-star Michelin, whatever. And he's terrible at it, but then he keeps getting better and better the more he goes in. And at one point they start playing the music from Thief, because Tangerine Dream did the score for Thief.
And Michael Mann loves Tangerine Dream.
Loves them, absolutely loves them. And so great. he and cousin, when he's starting to become like this superhero at this restaurant, they start playing the Thief from when James Caan
makes
awesome. The big score. And I went out of my mind. I mean, it was just, forget it. It was so incredible. I have goosebumps not talking about it. It was fantastic.
So, all right, here's what we'll do, Mike. We've got about a minute and a half left before a break. I'd like to keep you for a couple more minutes after the break. You also, I know you're a fan, as am I. William Peterson, to me, had a profound effect on me and my love of movies. And also, you know what he did? He started this thing with me where I loved when someone not famous was in a lead role. Because when I saw To Live and Die in L.A., I couldn't believe. To me, it's like better than The French Connection, which is Friedkin's other masterpiece. I think he won an Oscar for that. I loved William Peterson in that role. And I do these classic movie picks here at Civic Media every week. And I did To Live and Die in L.A. about 2 months ago. And I just did Manhunter like last week. Those two films. And I think I told you this before. Dennis Farina was my little league coach in Chicago. So seeing him in Manhunter, I was like, what on earth? So the fact that you mentioned those two films today as well, I was like, those had such an effect on me as well at that time in my life. So maybe we could just dip our toe in those films for a couple minutes after this break, and then I'll let you go. We'll have to have you come back soon, because I know you're watching, you're really into film noirs like I am these days, and we both have bouncer stories, although you probably have a lot more than me. But
yeah, I'd love it, man. Let's come back and talk.
All right. We'll do this very quick break. And then Mike Radu will join me here in the studio. And Mike brought really cool stuff that he found in his old theater. Check this out, Conrad. If you're watching on the stream.
Yeah.
I'll have Mike. It just looks like a popcorn box. And it is. But Mike will explain the significance when he's here. It's very cool. We're coming right back on Nightlight with Mike Schmidt. It's Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. Our question of the night, you can still get in on the fun, is what is in your pocket? We're a little behind on text, but we'll get there. So share what's in your pocket and I will read it on the radio. Great to have you with me tonight. Mike Radu is coming up in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about his really cool old school theaters This is not the Megaplex, folks. These are the real deal, old school movie theaters, the way movie theaters are meant to be. Right now, I've got a few more minutes with my pal, Mike Schmidt, who is joining us via the stream. We're talking about movies, Thief. And I wanted to ask you, Mike, like To Live and Die in L.A. and Manhunter, what is your connection? Because they're different directors, same actor. I just found it fascinating to put those in the text you sent me today, because those are two of my favorites of all time.
Well, I consider them, like I said, the movies where, because look, we all, in the 80s, you know, growing up, you'd see Back to the Future, you go see Ghostbusters, you see Gremlins, you see Aliens, you see all these whiz-bang blockbusters.
Right.
But the Thief, I just purely stumbled into because I was paying to see movies on a Tuesday night, and it grabbed me. So then, even at 13, I was like, all right, so now Michael Mann is on my radar. I know that name now. I knew who he was. And that was it made me get interested in movies that had stories and more, you know, I can't say that I saw The Godfather and it changed my life when I was a kid. I mean, I saw it later and was like, oh, okay. You know, that sort of thing. Like right. So then later on, To Live and Die in LA, I took a date. Like, it was one of those things where it was cause it opened in, I think it's 85. And one of the first dates I ever went on, this girl, Chris, who I worked with at Jewel. She was a checker and I was a bagger and we were destined. and I will. All right. So here's this. I will tie this in. So we go to see To Live and Die in L.A. And again, she picked it. I didn't. Oh, nice. And I sat there transfixed by it. I couldn't. And again, William L. Peterson in that movie is every bit the walking erection that James Caan is in Thief. And and I love tough guy stuff. There's not enough of that in movies now. We got a lot of smirky guys in movies now. And I'm not saying they're not tough or whatever. But there's the scene where the guy goes to search William L. Peterson. He goes, "You don't touch me." And he goes, "Well, then you don't go upstairs." And he goes, "Hey," and then they have a shoving match in a tiny hallway. That is a real confrontation. Yep. It is. I've been in those. You've been in that where it escalates out of nowhere. It's like, and they shove each other back and forth. And the best part is the bouncer dude just looks at him and goes, "Oh, go ahead, tough guy.
Go ahead, tough guy." Like, yeah.
It just completely dismisses him with four words. It's so great.
You're right. It's so real. And that's what I love about Peterson in both of those films, Manhunter and To Live and Die in L.A. He's just a real guy. With tons of enthusiasm.
The director saw that. They saw that. I mean, he's in Thief again. He's in it for 5 minutes. He's the bartender at the bar, and he brings a stick out to kind of to take James Caan out because James Caan's harassing Tuesday Weld. And again, it's another great guy moment because he comes in, he goes, "Hey, I'm talking to you." And James Caan just pulls up his waistband. He's got a gun tucked in his pants. He goes, "Take a walk, Flash." And then he just gives him a two-hand shove into a crowd. It's so guy, so tough guy, macho. It's great. I love it so much. And Chris, who I went to see To Live and Die in L.A. with, we went to the Improv, to the Second City to watch Improv one night. And Jim Belushi joined the people on stage. So we got to see Belushi in late night Improv. They played freeze tag and all that stuff. And as we left, we walked. We were in, you know, near downtown where Second City was. We walked because we parked on a side street. We're looking. And there's Jim Belushi sitting on a stoop. Like with two other people.
Funny.
And I got to walk up to him and go, "Hey, I loved you in Thief. I mean, because you were so good. And I'm so happy we just saw you in Second City, but my goodness, like I just absolutely loved you so much in Thief." And I said, "I want to do this someday. I would like to be a, you know, comedian or an improv guy." And he goes, "Well, keep at it." He goes, "Maybe I'll be joining you on stage one night."
That is so fun, Mike. And all right. Here's how we'll wrap this up. I have a similar story. I was on my way to a bar when I was at DePaul called J.P. Murph's, and I hear this voice. I had already seen Manhunter and To Live and Die in L.A., and I hear this guy talking about British Columbia and how effing beautiful it was, and I'm like, "God, I know that voice." And I look over, and it's William Peterson.
Oh, my God.
So I walk over, and I said, "Hey, I'm a huge fan." And he goes, "Oh, hey, that's great, man." He goes, "What's your name?" And like an idiot, he knows my Aunt Jeanette because she was at Second City. And a Chicago theater actress, and I go, "Pete." Like, if I'd said Schwabba, we probably could have had more of a conversation. But he was the coolest guy ever. And then my buddy Dennis at the bar, Peterson used to go into J.P. Murph's once in a while, and the song To Live and Die in L.A. by Wang Chung is on the jukebox. And Dennis had this messy hair, and he's drinking a martini. He's like 20 years old, not even old enough to be in the bar. Walks over to William Peterson, who was sitting with Amy Morton at the time. And Dennis says, "You hear this song?" Peterson just gives him a look that was so priceless. And he goes, "Yeah." And Dennis goes, "Are you the man?" And Peterson goes, "Yeah." And Dennis just walks. Like, he's just a cool, I don't know if he still is or what, but a great guy. Yeah. And Mike, we got to have a lot more of these conversations. This is so fun. And it's awesome, man. We'll do this again soon. I hope you, we'll talk some noir. We'll talk some more great movies. You're a blast, buddy. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm so always happy to be asked, man. Thank you so much.
You got it.
I'm so happy the show has been going so long and you're so good at it. And you're just the best,
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Go run a comb through your hair after that nice hot shower. Okay, buddy. Thanks, Mike.
Take care.
That is Mike Schmidt. Check out the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast. It's great stuff. And if you think Mike can tell a story on this show, he does it on his podcast as well. He's just absolutely hilarious. So we've got Mike Radu coming up in just a couple of minutes. Let's catch up. Conrad, how are we doing on text? Where are we at here? Because I see...
We got a good one you could get in, a Steady Eddie text.
Well, should we do Steady Eddie? Let's get Steady Eddie's text.
Yeah.
All right. So, wow, he's covering every topic we covered. Steady Eddie from the 608 says, "Pete, here's my contribution for a possible new Nightlight intro. Pete Schwabe, a man who prefers to take his fart walks down the aisle of a crowded Greyhound bus."
That's a great one.
I've probably done that. I'm sorry. And we are never talking about this topic again after tonight. So enjoy it, folks. Steady Eddie says, "In my pants pocket, besides my grocery store coupons and somebody's excess belly button lint, I carry a second set of house and car keys." Good thinking, right? "Since the pandemic began in 2020, I rarely carry any money in my pockets to avoid spreading the virus. Now I continue that habit. More and more, we're becoming a cashless society, Pete. Is that good, bad, or indifferent? Will the government be able to control and surveil us more and more in the future? I'm not sure, but all I know is that when I was a kid, my pocket change was made of real silver." You are the man, Steady Eddie. He says, "Steady, the times they are changing, Eddie. Cha-ching, cha-ching." Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming right back. I'll read more of your texts, and we will meet theater owner Mike Radu. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
What makes her work? I guess I'll leave that question to the experts. Assuming that there are some out there, they're probably alone.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, asking you what is in your pocket tonight. Bridget from the 818 says, "A post-it note, a paperclip, and a penny." Boy, it's not going to get you very far, Bridget. But I appreciate your honesty. Thank you for the text. Who else we got here, Conrad? Did I miss your mom's text?
No, she has to go to the mile to the mailbox, remember?
That's right. All right. Tony the trucker says, "Oh, I already read that." But he also says, "Oops, wrong question, Pete. In my shirt pocket, I have a pen I swiped from the bank drive-through. Pants pockets, I have a ring of work-related keys and an old-school plastic coin purse that people stare at with awe. Apparently, they've never seen one." All right, that's interesting. He also says, "Pete, has to be a homemade Reuben." Remember, we were talking about sandwiches earlier. He says, "Made with quality corned beef piled high with a great dill pickle and a cold beer. I'm actually fasting today, and now my mouth is watering.
A gelato shop.
I might not make it."
Right. One stop away.
I had that last night. All right, we got a few more of your texts we'll get to in a bit. Right now, it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight for the first time a Frank Herman's connection. Right, Mike?
Yes, correct.
Theater owner Mike Radu. He owns theaters in Chilton and De Pere, and he joins us here in the studio. Mike, I want to thank you right off the bat for these cool things. Tell us the story. If you're watching on the stream, this is what Mike found in his theater. It's a popcorn box, but give us a little history.
So let me apologize for my throat. You know, like I said, I don't have my normal sexy voice.
The raspiness is working.
I got this sexy voice. But yeah, so our theater in Chilton, as in a lot of the theaters that I've visited and I've filmed, we try to get in the basements and up in the attics. And behind the screen, I found a case of these popcorn boxes, unopened, 1946.
I love popcorn boxes.
So Manly, actually, if you go back into the 30s, popcorn wasn't made in the theater. It was made in the streets. You know,
right.
Manly invented the first kettle electric popcorn popper.
Really?
So they got huge because at one point they had like 85 or 90% of all popcorn makers in the world were Manly popcorn makers. And then they merged with Craters, who still has the same popcorn kettle makers that they patented back then. But yeah, so I found that crawling around. I'm like, what is this? Open up. And I've got like 200 of them. And it looks new, but it's actually, it's not a remake. It's actually original 1945.
And I don't want to, like, thank you for this, for bringing these, but I don't want to use them, obviously.
No.
You've got to frame them or something.
Yeah,
1940s.
Nice shelf sitter, right? Yeah.
You mentioned that you theaters you filmed.
Correct.
What does that mean?
So Frank Hermans and I, we call the Movie Time guys.
Yeah.
We do comedy videos.
Right.
So we went out and started filming. We started with my theaters first. And then, we traveled around Wisconsin. We haven't done it for a year. We want to get back at it. Kind of picking what I own, which is single screen vaudeville stage theaters.
Yeah.
That have been around. Like Chilton Theater, where these were, was built in 1938.
I love it.
Original inside. Yeah.
And you got a marquee.
Yes.
I love the marquee.
Yeah,
and I think your DePere Theater has one too,
correct.
Right?
Yeah.
What is your business? It's called Get Real.
Well, it's actually Reduce Cinemas. Get Real Cinemas is our website. Get Real.
Okay.
Spelled R-E-E-L. Get
that right.
Got where I went.
Real. Love it.
Which we don't use movie reels anymore. Everything's digital, which we could talk hours about what we used to be like. Everything's digital now.
So what happens up in that little room now where the projectionists used to sit? Because you still have, I know the theater I was telling you about in Marinette still has that area up there.
Yeah, we do too.
How does that work?
So the one in Marinette, did it have a toilet?
Up in the theater?
In the projection.
You know what? Maybe because
I bet you it did.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So I'll tell you the story. So years ago, go back into the 30s, 40s, even in the 50s, they had two projectors, not just one. So you had a projectionist up there. I should have next time I come, I'll bring you a reel.
Yeah.
I still have some reels.
Oh, yeah.
And they'd be threading up one side, and that reel would run for about 20 minutes. And then they'd be, while that was running, they'd thread the other projector, and they'd go back and forth and back and forth. Now, originally, it was carbon arc, which is basically a fire, like a carbon welding rod. That's what created the light.
Mm.
And the film was celluloid. So you took fire next to flammable material. They couldn't leave. They had to have a toilet. They couldn't leave the room because fires were so common. And that's why a lot of old theaters, we would get to a town, Frank and I, theater burnt down in, 1950 or whatever, because they had so many fires because it was so hot.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
And so if you visit old theaters and you get up in a projector, but most of them, our Chilton and our DePere both have toilets.
Wow, that is really cool. Could you still play a reel at one of your theaters? Do you have the equipment or a projector that
we owned a theater, and we used to have five theaters. I'm slowly retiring now, so we just have Chilton and DePere left. The projector in the Manitowoc Theater, the old Mikado,
okay.
That whole setup I left there when we went to digital. So they could still play
wow.
film if it's available, but film is so, it's not very readily available anymore since 2014.
I told you about that film I made in Marinette years ago, The Godfather of Green Bay. I had, and we played in theaters. We played in, I think, 12 theaters. So we had 12 prints made.
Oh, yeah.
And I still kept one in the big tin.
Yeah.
And it's very heavy because the reels are in there.
Yeah.
And
so
I kept one, and I don't know if I'll ever use it on an actual reel again, but it's just kind of a keepsake. But it's so easy now when you just have to hand someone a flash drive, basically, right?
Or no, well, they come in, the movie itself comes about the size of a... not even a DVD, I would say more VHS tape size.
Okay.
And that's what you plug. So to explain how it works now, you've got really three parts to your projector. You've got the computer. You've got the marriage board, which marries the light source to the computer.
Okay.
So it's like a three-phase thing. So you take this hard drive, you plug it into the computer. It downloads, which we call up ingest, because they don't like downloads because that sounds illegal. And then you get a thumb drive that you plug into the projector side that unlocks it. Otherwise, you could play it forever and ever. So this thumb drive, which comes on a separate computer,
okay,
that's all very, very high tech. And then if you're playing it for a week or 10 days, 2 weeks, whatever it is, at the end of that time, it locks back up and you can't play it anymore.
No,
you have
kidding.
To get a new jump drive, yeah.
Wow. All right. So Mike Radu is my guest. He owns theaters in Chilton and in DePere. You are not the Megaplex. You are independent theaters. What kind of stuff do you show there? And tell us a little bit about the actual spaces, the venues, if you would.
Sure. So we are a first-run theater. We play brand new movies. We just finished Minecraft, and we're starting...
Oh, my God. Did you have any of the issues with Minecraft?
So that's another story. Yeah. So... Frank turned me on to this, actually, his son Harrison. So our we're a member of the National Theaters Organization. So they put out a thing that we put up saying, look, during this part of the movie, we're watching. If you do, you're out.
Right.
If ands or buts. We did have one kid jump, because we have a table and chair setting. So I'm getting ahead of myself here. But we serve pizza, beer, and burgers in all our theaters. So some kid, jumped off one of the tables, broke the end off. So I'm like, well, what's going on? And then Frank, I was talking to Frank, and he said, well, do you know this? I did not. So, yeah, we didn't. That's the one and only time.
For those of you listening, the trend during the Minecraft movie is when the zombie chicken scene happens, teenage boys lose their minds and start throwing popcorn and sodas. It's horrible.
Yeah.
But they're teenage boys. They're jerks. That's what they do, right?
It's I mean, Rocky Horror Picture Show. Type thing.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. So, no, I lost my train of thought. What were we talking
about? We were talking about your spaces. You were telling us about the venues and that you serve all this great food, too.
Yeah, we have homemade pizzas and burgers and in De Pere, and we serve beer and wine and stuff like that. Chilton, we just do the pizza and the burgers and regular concession stuff as well, of course. We have table and chair settings. So it's auditorium with the high back seats, but there's a counter in front of every row. So you can have pizza if you want. You can just use it, put your popcorn on, whatever. More leg room.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... We don't seat as many. I think Chilton seats 110. De Pere seats like 150.
Really?
So so sellouts are common, but it's fine. But yeah, Thorn, what is it? That's the new movie, Thorn.
The Thunderbolts.
Thunderbolts. I should know this.
It's Thunderbolts,
right? Thunderbolts, yeah.
Thank you. Good thing you're here.
It's Marvel. That's all we need.
So that starts on Friday. So we get everything on the break. Yeah, brand new movie.
So is there history, like before you owned the theaters, what was happening in these buildings? Was it live theater? Were they still movie theaters?
So let's see. The De Pere Cinema was, I bought that, I'm only the third owner. And it was built there in 1938. There's another story. It's actually, I don't know, I could talk all night. But and the Chilton Theater was operating as a theater, so was De Pere. The one in Manitowoc, which is the Mikado, was a church. Now, I went to Lutheran High in Manitowoc, so I actually went on dates in this theater, ended up owning it, but it was a church, and we converted it back to a theater. But that one was built in 26. That was a speaking theater before it was a movie theater. And then it burnt down in 1956. Charlton Heston, his wife was from Two Rivers.
Oh, really?
So he frequented the Mikado. But when the Mikado rebuilt in 1956, the theater in Manitowoc, people came from all over the world. Because it was really state-of-the-art. The acoustics are amazing.
Really?
And that one, I sold it to a young couple that's still a theater. They're doing fine.
Oh, that's good.
I had one in the western part of the state that, too, was a speaking theater with vaudeville stage theater. The bank bought it. That one was the first one I sold maybe 5-6 years ago, and they wanted it for the parking lot. So that one came down,
unfortunately. Terrible.
Yeah. And then we had a drive-in that closed last year. I didn't own the real estate there. We took a Walmart parking lot. Turned it into a drive-in for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
That was a lot of fun.
They sold you the parking lot?
No, I just rented it.
Okay.
A couple of business guys from Chilton said, hey, we love your theater. Would you want to do a drive-in? I said, no. And I thought about that. Well, why not?
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Do you think people come, like, I love all movie theaters. I love when people go to the movies. There seems to be a movement where at least artists and studios are trying to, for obvious reasons, trying to get people back in the theater. But I have a soft spot in my heart for history and for a building with a story like yours have.
Yeah.
Do people where you live, do they tend to gravitate towards your theaters because they're small business, they're part of the community? Or is it, talk about a little bit about that and what it's like competing with these megaplexes?
Well, so every community that we're in, we got tremendous support. Let's just use De Pere as an example. That was my first theater. We're 25 years there. So in 2014, we were told this when we started in the business, that film is going to go away. It's going to be digital. They kept telling us this. So at 2014, they said at the end of the season, there's going to be no more film. Either you make the switch to digital or you're out of business. So, and a projector, a digital projector is $50,000. Not a little piece of equipment.
Right.
So we did a fundraiser in De Pere, and the community got behind us through a Kickstarter and raised enough money to buy the projector for
Whoa.
So, yeah, do we get support? Absolutely. Amazing support in every community that we're in. So it keeps us there. It's what's kept us going.
That is fantastic. So, like, let's say tomorrow night when Thunderbolts open, you expect
Friday.
You expect like a full house and typical Friday night, Saturday night movie crowds?
It just depends. You know, we book our own movies. We don't have a agent that we use. I have a contact in every studio. I call Disney. If I'm booking a Disney movie, I call Warner Brothers, wherever the movie's coming from. And so we get to pick, you know. We know what our audience is. Our audience in Tapir is animations, family, you know. So will Thunderbirds do real great? They'll probably do well.
Okay.
Minecraft sold out like the first 10 shows.
Wow.
So you just never know for sure. But if it's geared towards families with little kids, or it's a sellout. It's a winner.
That's pretty cool. So Mike Radu is here. He owns the Dupier Theater and the theater in Chilton. We're going to ask, you've seen your share of movies, I assume, Mike. So
couple.
All right. Well, so we'll find out what Mike's favorites are when we come back. I'll finish reading your texts and I want to ask you about your voice and how your workout was, because that's important stuff too. We got to get to that. Mike Radu is here. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. I am Peach Wabba. This is Nightlight. It is great to have you along for the ride tonight, folks. PJ on the stream says, people that feel the need to fart walk in grocery stores are gross. No argument there, PJ. Our question tonight was, what's in your pocket? And Brian, we got Brian from Milwaukee. He's got another one. Glad I'm not the only one with blue pocket fuzz, a.k.a. lint in my pocket. Thank you for not judging. We don't do that here, Brian. We don't judge at all on Nightlight. Christine from Slinger says, dog treats. All right. Pet owner. That makes sense. And then Madison from Plumber, or is that Madison and they are a plumber? I don't know. But Madison says, 6 drill bits, AirPods, pocket knife, pencil, and a tin of Copenhagen. Do you carry a knife on you, Mike?
Not tonight.
This is like everybody that's listening today is like they're getting ready for a gang fight or something. It's like old school. It's going to be a rumble. Great text, everybody. Thank you so much for being part of the show tonight. Thank you to Mike Schmidt for joining me. We've got a few minutes here with my second guest tonight, Mike Radu, who owns the Chilton Theater and the Dupier Theater. And you were telling me about the New London. That's really cool. My wife's family is from New London.
Oh,
and,
the Grand, yeah.
The Grand, is that still there?
Yeah, it's still operating. They added on, made more smaller theaters, but the original auditorium was there. We filmed that a couple years ago, and Frank Hermans and I were there, and the trapdoor, we went down below the green, where the green rooms were, and it was amazing. There was drawings on the walls of people that had performed there in the 1900s, and It was truly, truly amazing. Of all the theater that we filmed, I shouldn't say, there's been so many cool ones. But then there was a catwalk was still up above.
Oh, I love those.
So it was just basically between the 2x4s, they had slats, you know. So, and we had our cameraman there. And I said, I'm going to go up there. I said, it looks like there's drawings up there. Frank thought I was kidding. And all of a sudden he goes, oh, he's really going up there. So I scurried up there and jumped over. And then there he goes. So he always says, if you talk Frank, Mike's a good climber. but the old wooden crank was still there for raising and lowering the screen. And again, there was these drawings. So apparently when the person was up there, he was drawing on the walls. Just that history. Every old theater has a flavor, has a history. So when we're in these towns and we're filming, we could go to the cafes or whatever. Hey, you're here when the theater was open. Oh, yeah. It was the place to go on a Friday or whatever. But everyone has a story. They're all haunted. Everyone's haunted.
That's
every place you go.
Is, yeah.
But you know what's haunted? yeah, of course I know. But everyone has a flavor to it. Everyone has a different story, and obviously I've dedicated 25 years of my life, and I'm not. I didn't drive up in a in a Porsche. I mean, I'm not getting rich,
right?
I'm a carpenter by trade. My wife was a hospice nurse, but we love it. And I always tell everybody, you see these little kids come into the theater, like little bitty 5, 6, 7, And their eyes are like golf balls, man. That's as close to Hollywood as they're ever going to get.
That's fantastic.
And that's what it's about, you know. That's why we gear toward, all our theaters are geared towards.
Do you ever have moments where you go, I'm sure you do, like where you go in and you're the only one in the whole building and you're in the part where you're in the theater where people have been laughing for decades or awestruck for decades at what they are seeing on the silver screen. That to me, I think that's in part why people sometimes think they're haunted, because you have all these great memories and all these things of people coming together to enjoy something together. It's magical.
Yeah, it really is. There's no other way to describe it except magagical.
So what are some of your favorite films? You got the Tombstone sweatshirt on. Yeah. I love that.
People ask me that all the time. I would say Tombstone's probably my all-time favorite movie, period. Certainly Western. Now we lost Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
Tremendous guy. And I can tell you a story that I read about him when he was filming there. Musical, I would say the remake of A Star is Born with Lady Gaga.
Okay.
She was unbelievable. And so was Bradley Cooper.
It's the second time you brought up Lady Gaga tonight. So I think there's a little chemistry between the two of you or something.
I'd love to. Yeah. Never met her.
Your wife's not listening.
No, she's not listening. I met Elizabeth Shue. I've met a lot of people when I've been in Hollywood a few times. I met Elizabeth Shue and I met a couple of people out there. Let's see. Horror, of course. I mean, it's The Exorcist. And as you can tell, I woke up at 2 o'clock this morning with food poisoning, and I did my best Linda Blair impression of The Exorcist. Wham! So that's what my voice.
Well, you still went to the gym because you asked me to call you, and I called you, and you're coming out of the gym.
Yeah, two hours
with food poisoning.
Yeah, with food poisoning. Yeah, yeah. See, and The Godfather.
Yeah,
I love The Godfather. I do a really great Godfather impression. I can't do it tonight because I don't have a voice. All right. Next time I come,
next
I'll do
time
the Godfather.
You come, we'll have to do that, you'll do The Godfather, and. We'll dig deeper into this. If you haven't been to the theater in a while and you're listening, go to the movies, because there is nothing like that experience, regardless of where you go see a movie. But if you have a choice and you can go to an old theater with tons of history, like Mike's Two Theaters or the one you're talking about in New... Did you say that was still there in New London?
New London, the Grand is still there. Yeah.
One of these little cool theaters with history in it, there's nothing like that experience. So I recommend it, and... I don't know. So what do you got this weekend?
Thunderbirds?
Oh, yeah. Thunderbolts.
Thunderbolts.
Thunderbolts, yeah.
Thunderbolts, yeah. I should know that. I'm a movie guy. Yeah, that opens up nationwide Friday, and we'll have it this weekend.
Okay. In both theaters?
Both theaters, correct.
Wow.
Yep.
That should be a cash cow.
Yeah, should do well. It's Marvel.
What's the favorite snack? What do you sell most the snacks to people?
It's our pizza.
Pizza.
Yeah, okay. I mean, people love popcorn, but we make homemade pizza. People come in and say, what kind of pizza is it? Movie time pizza. Never heard of it. Well, that's our pizza. It's made fresh. Movie time is our trademark pizza.
Oh, nice.
So they can have half and half or have it any way you want. People are always amazed by that.
That's fantastic. Mike, this is fun. Thank you. We'll do this again.
Absolutely.
And we'll do a deep dive more into actual movies, because I think that would be fun with a guy who's seen a ton of them. We're obviously both movie fans. So thank you to Frank Hermans, our mutual friend who made this connection. And take care of your tummy, buddy.
I will.
No puking on the way home. All right. Tomorrow night, folks, Dobie Maxwell will be with me to make Wisconsin comedian, one of our very own. He'll be here to make the popcorn pick of the week. And then Jim Healy from UW Cinematheque in Madison joins the show. And this guy has seen more movies than probably all of us combined. So that'll be a fun night tomorrow night on Nightlight as well. Thanks for listening, folks. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.